listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. On today's program, I want to do a deep dive and investigate the biography of Professor Klaus Schwab, who is the head of the World Economic Forum, and he's the author of The Global Reset, which is a book about the fourth industrial revolution. Now, you know, whenever you're listening to somebody speak, whether it's a politician or a banker or whoever it is, pastor or religious leader, you need data about their background and data that is reliable. You need to know something based on accurate information and credible documentation regarding an individual's past history and their family history. So this guy, Klaus Schwab, is essentially the super salesman of the world, because that's what he's really functioning as, a salesman. You know, strip away the fancy titles, he's a salesman. And he's selling the world on this concept of his and people he works with. He's selling the world on the alleged benefits of the global reset. And his most famous quote, which you will hear me quote often because it's so outrageous, in my opinion, it's an outrageous lie. And the quote goes like this. Schwab is always saying that when the global reset fully happens, you will own absolutely nothing, but you will be happier than you've ever been in your entire life. Now, I want to put a period on the end of that statement. And with every fiber of my being, with every molecule of my being, I can promise you, based on a lifetime of research, a lifetime of experience, and just plain old common sense. And many of you know exactly what I'm talking about, and it's the conclusion that you've come to also, because you're using your common sense. So, this promise of Schwab that when the fourth industrial revolution happens, when the global reset happens, you will own absolutely nothing and you will never be happier than you have been in your entire life. I can tell you, I can promise you, that is a 100% right in your face. He's looking right in your face and he's lying. And if you or some Christian friend who got dropped out of the crib on the way to having his diapers changed, and I'm not putting down people who have mental challenges, I'm really not. I'm trying to add a little shock value to drive home the point. Unless there is something neurologically wrong with your brain, you would have to be a complete idiot, psychotic, moron. I mean, I could go on for an hour giving synonyms of the word moron. You'd have to be a complete star. You'd have to be stark raving mad to believe for one nanosecond that by owning nothing, you would be happier than you've ever been in your entire life. You know, when you hear that statement, what comes from your own human spirit immediately is a sense of, it's like, for me, when I hear him say that, or his devotees, you know, gurus have their devotees. When I hear Schwab say that, what happens to me internally goes something like this. It's like somebody has thrown a boomerang into the air as hard and as fast as humanly possible. And so we're talking to Schwab, and we have a second or two or three or four, and that's about it. And that boomerang that we fired with our arm and hand in the air is going to come swirling back with increased momentum. And that boomerang that we threw is going to slam into our faces with an incredible amount of force, most likely giving us potentially a concussion, most likely giving us potentially brain damage. And then just on a cosmetic basis, when that hard wood boomerang hits us in the face with a smack, most likely you will break your nose. You'll have to have surgery. And God knows what other bones you will break in your face, in your chin area, as that boomerang hurtles with dynamic speed right smack in the middle of your face. This is what we're talking about. Okay, so we're in a common agreement here, right? Unless you want to argue the boomerang analogy, and you know, we can do that later. Because if you want to disavow the boomerang parable, we'll just come up with a better one. The principle is still true. So Klaus Schwab has promised all the corporations, all the working class, all the middle class, he has promised them that when the global reset is finished, you will own absolutely nothing because you will have entered what the globalist elite have planned for you specifically for the last 100 years. Let's just, you know, clear away the dust here, the cobwebs from your mind. Let's just clear it up. The thought, the alleged documentation, the cognitive processes, the so-called intelligence that would go into computing a formula like you will own nothing, but you'll never be happier in your life, is a flat-out lie. It is a flat-out lie. It is propaganda at its best because so many millions of people have been socially engineered. They've been radically dumbed down. And they actually believe. I mean, I'm going to spill my guts a little bit here, okay? No, I'm not going to vomit in the microphone. I'm going to just spill my guts emotionally here. We have had for the last 60 years, one generation after another generation after another generation, succumb to social engineering and scientific mind control, which has vastly dumbed them down and vastly reduced their cognitive, analytical, perception, reasoning, intellectual abilities, and so on and so forth. So most people can't even do the common sense math any longer. Based on any knowledge of history, based on any honest comparison between our society and societies in recent history, I'm talking about like the Communist Revolution, the Communist Chinese Revolution, the Communist Cuban Revolution, you know, we could go down the list of various communist, Marxist, and socialist revolutions. They all have one thing in common. They produced totally inept and dysfunctional governments and bureaucracies that are totally incapable of ruling a nation effectively. That's number one. Number two is in their training of their leadership and and the ideological platform upon which they based their theories, there's no kind way to say it. But if we're going to tell the truth, we have a choice here. We can be kind and lie to people and they'll pay the consequences, or we can tell the truth and it's going to hit them hard, but at least they'll have the opportunity to be set free. So, every communist revolution, every socialist revolution, and every modified version of a communist, socialist, Marxist revolution has produced the exact same result time after time after time after time. The result is this: a total loss of liberties, freedoms, a total loss of freedom of the press, freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, the right to bear arms, the freedom of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. All of those things are heisted from the common people. They're robbed from the common people when a nation undergoes a communist revolution. People lose all of their freedoms by violent military force. Understand that. It's time. I don't want to talk down on anybody. But it's time for a lot of you, who, and again, I'm running the risk of talking down to people, and I want you to know I apologize for that in advance. But I'm trying to be as direct and concise with my words as possible, okay? Because it has to be done. So, most expedient way of saying this is that every single communist, socialist, Marxist revolution that has ever occurred, including Adolf Hitler's National Socialist Revolution, has produced a brutal, without exception, a brutal totalitarian regime and a brutal dictatorship where the people were stripped of all their freedoms, the people were stripped of all their constitutional rights. They have never been poor. They have lost all their freedoms. They're starving to death. They have no government whatsoever to protect them. And their lives have become, because of communism and Marxism, their lives have become a living nightmare. That's the truth. No exaggeration, no embellishment, that's the truth. So, what we have to understand is that the way communism, Marxism, and socialism conquers people's minds and conquers nations is it moves from nation to nation, mind to mind, through a program of spiritual deception and lies and propaganda. The minute anybody finds out the truth about communism, it starts to internally disintegrate. So, communism brings, well, communism is the four horsemen of the apocalypse rolled into one. You have the white horse, which represents the one world government of the Antichrist. You have the other horses, one horse which represents disease, global pandemics. Another horse represents wars and rumors of wars. Another horse represents like I said, pandemics and disease outbreaks. And the four horsemen of the apocalypse converge and ride together and destroy every nation they're unleashed in. And of course, they destroy the world that they're unleashed in. So, there's no deviation from this course. It's 100%. 100% statistical
likelihood that it will occur precisely as I have said to you. And not because I'm some, you know, genius. It's because I read, pay attention, I study history. And based on the historical precedents, communism delivers a nightmare wherever it goes. So, here in America, what's happening now is they've spent the last 60 years dumbing down one generation after another generation after another generation of young people and adults. They've brainwashed them into being programmed into believing in communism, Marxism, and socialism. They have scientifically dumbed them down. They have socially engineered them to be dumbed down. And the people who now exist in a dumbed down state of consciousness have lost their former intelligence. They have lost their cognitive abilities. They have lost their reasoning abilities. They've lost their knowledge of history. They've lost their ability to analyze. They've lost their ability to utilize perception. So they have been scientifically programmed to be dumbed down and stupid, because it's only people that are dumbed down and stupid that will succumb to the deceptions of a communist, Marxist, socialist revolution. So that's where we are. Now, when we talk about the global reset, like Adolf Hitler's Nazi Germany, like Lenin's communist revolution, like Chairman Mao's communist revolution, like Fidel Castro's communist revolution, all of these workers' revolutions promise paradise on earth. You'll own nothing, but you'll never be happier in your whole lives, which, by the way, is total deception. It's a total lie. And not only is it a total lie and a total deception, it is designed to intoxicate or drug the masses into this false hope of paradise on earth. You know, it's very interesting. Notice how these atheistic, secular humanist, existentialist, dictatorial regimes, when they're using spiritual deception on people, when they're brainwashing people, notice their propensity to use words that convey messages about heaven and paradise and eternal life. It's not an accident. They call communism on earth the workers' paradise. Communism will bring you paradise on earth. That's not an accident. They're tapping in to the innate truth that every man and woman knows, which is there is a heaven, and there is a hell, and there is a God. So, back to the Great Reset. The Great Reset, with this promise, this is an astronomical promise. You will own absolutely nothing, but you'll never be happier in your entire life. Now, that is an act of psychological warfare that is incredibly brutal. And it's weaponized, and it's being used as a psychological warfare weapon on the masses in order to deceive them, in order to trick them to following along with this communist, socialist, Marxist revolution program. The fact of the matter is, the globalist elite, like Klaus Schwab and all these billionaires, you know, pay attention. Wake up. Get your friends to wake up. Pay attention. The billionaire class, the trillionaire class in the last 10 years has never become wealthier than they have become in the last 10 years. In the last 10 years, the billionaire-trillionaire class has multiplied their wealth, and they have made more money in a faster way than at any other time in human history. They have become rich beyond belief because of all these government programs, because of the vaccination, because of the global reset. The vaccination, quit thinking of the vaccination as a biological problem. It is a biological problem, but the primary agenda behind the vaccination is that it is weaponized to destroy economies, the working class, the middle class, jobs, and to destroy nations. So, it is not an accident that the working class, the middle class, the small business owner, the independent business owner, the self-employed notice that all these people who fit into the category of owning their own businesses, or they're self-employed, or they're hardworking working class, or hardworking middle class, notice a measurable observation, which is they are the ones that have been hit the hardest of any other demographic group. It's the hardworking middle class, the hardworking working class, that have been hit harder than any other group in seeing their houses repossessed, in seeing their businesses crash, in seeing them losing their retirement funds. You're dealing with some of the most intelligent economists in the world. It's important to embrace and understand the reality that the wiping out of the middle class and the working class and the independent business owner and the small business owner and the wiping out of their retirement funds and all the things, all the economic fallout that hit like a tsunami in conjunction with the vaccination and the Great Reset, this was done on purpose. This was done strategically. This was done in the following manner. The middle class and the working class were set up as targets to be taken out. You say, why? Because it is the middle class and the working class, the independent business owner, the small business owner, who, in terms of a demographic group, they are the people that are the most patriotic. They are the people that are most Christian, most religious. They are the people that believe in capitalism. And you see, your freedoms, your ability to thrive and prosper, your ability to accumulate wealth and pass your wealth down to your children, your ability to be an entrepreneur and grow a business and make money, make lots of money, all of those financial opportunities are only available to the super billionaires, and they're only available to the hardworking class and the hardworking middle class. The people that work for massive corporations, the people that work for hourly wage, the people who work in these giant bureaucracies, they are not the creators of jobs. They are not the creators of wealth. They are not patriotic, for the most part, to America. And their biblical beliefs are very weak and tenuous. That's where we are. They were the middle class and working class, especially the Christian working class and middle class, was targeted for destruction. Why? Because people like Klaus Schwab don't want the hardworking middle class, the hardworking working class, the small business owner, Schwab and his globalist elite pals don't want these independent business owners to prosper, to accumulate wealth. They want to destroy them because they want everyone to be working for the corporations that they dominate, control, and own. It's all about control. It's all about limiting your wealth, controlling your wealth, taking away your freedoms. It's all about total control. And the minute you wake up to that reality, you've taken the first baby step into the awareness of freedom. As long as you continue to embrace the mythologies and lies of the Great Reset, you are targeted for assassination. Not necessarily with bullets, but economic assassination. The militant taking away of your freedoms. That's what's happening here. Now, it's important that you grasp this, because to the degree that I and others communicate to you effectively, to the degree that I can communicate the most important truths biblically and economically and download it into your consciousness effectively, so that you can in turn download it into other people's consciousness, the speed by which we do that is the speed by which we can take our nation back, take our freedoms back, and keep our freedoms and keep a free America. That's why we're in battle for our lives. That's why in one of my earlier books that was released and written before pandemic, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, that title is accurate. That's exactly where we are in history. We are right now in the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. Okay, so now we're going to get into some facts about who is Klaus Schwab? Does he have connections? I'm asking a question. Does he have connections? Does his family have connections to the Nazis and Adolf Hitler? Or is that a conspiracy theory? We're going to talk about that factually and more. So right now, I want you to visit paulmaguire.us. Maguire is M-C-G-U-I-R-E. Visit paulmaguire.us. Take advantage of all of our Roku channels. Take advantage of all our social media platforms. The Paul Maguire Report audio. The Paul Maguire Report video. All of our books are at massive discounts right now. And you can still pre-order Power from On High at a big discount. But in the very near future, that discount will not be available. So if you're sitting on the fence about getting it, now's the time to get it. Because in that book, I bled, sweated, and tears. I poured more of myself into that book, Power from On High, than any other book I've written in my life. And I'm on the verge of going crazy because I'm intellectually exhausted. And unless you're a writer, you really wouldn't understand what I'm talking about. And I'm not being narcissistic. I mean, it's like I poured out my life. And you know why I poured out my life on that book? Because the hand of God has been pressing against my heart from the moment I began to write that book, which was before the pandemic. And then I had taken off in the writing of the book, Power from On High, and the next thing you knew, we were plunged into a pandemic. And then I had to, in order for the book to be meaningful, prophetic, and timely, I had to rewrite, which I'm finishing up now, I had to rewrite the entire book because I wasn't going to send out a book to you that's just a bunch of Christian fluff. The book either has to deliver a message that equips you with what you need to know to be an overcomer and more than a conqueror, but more than that, the book has to equip you about how you can walk in authentic biblical power from on high and take our nation back before it flips into a totalitarian regime. Because that's where we are. I'm not here to play games. This is not about the money. Let me tell you why it's not about the money. Your money may be worthless in the near future. That's why it's not about the money. With the present rate of inflation, your money is basically an illusion because it's regressing in value faster than you can earn it. So believe me when I tell you, it's not about the money. Now, finally, what it should be about for you and me, because if we don't unite together, as the Bible teaches us to do, if we don't unite together and take on this spiritual enemy, then we are going to be enslaved, we're going to be conquered, and we're going to go into captivity like God's people always did when they disobeyed the word of God. I don't want that to happen, but I know too much about history, too much about previous dictatorships, etc. I know too much about history to ignore the facts that history is right in front of our face, repeating itself over again. So you have a choice. I mean, really, I'm going to be very, very frank with you. You have a choice. You can play make-believe, which is, I'm going to be very honest with you right now. You're going to notice that I'm going to be increasingly honest. Not that I was dishonest before, but I try to exercise a certain diplomacy. I'm not interested in being rude and not being diplomatic. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is I have to, in communicating before it's too late, I have to cut through the fog. And in order to cut through the fog, I have to risk being misunderstood and risk being perceived as not being diplomatic. I'm not going to be rude. I'm not going to be obnoxious or any of those things. But the clock is ticking. Look at the cover of the book. Look. Go to paulmaguire.us and look at the book cover for Power from On High by Paul Maguire. That was not an arranged shot. That was not a pre-planned photograph of me standing in Grand Central Station with the clock, etc. I just happened to be in Grand Central Station with my wife and one or two of my children when my wife had her cell phone on her, and she just felt inspired to take some quick photos of me, you know, as I was moving around. And in the process of moving around, I'm standing in front of this massive clock, the massive American flag, and it turns out, not by planning, but by divine providence, that the book cover is highly prophetic in terms of what it communicates. Whether you buy the book or not, go to paulmaguire.us and look at the cover of the book, Power from On High. And just think about it for a couple of minutes, because it is loaded with prophetic communication about our nation, what's coming and what's going on. And I didn't plan it. I mean, I didn't plan it for that to happen. I believe it was the grace of God. Okay, so now I want to go, and we're gonna look at Klaus Schwab, because see, by looking into Klaus Schwab's past, we can discover a lot about his future plans. Knowledge is power. And you know, you have all these Christians, and they embarrass me. They really embarrass me, not because of pride, but they embarrass me because they have no shame. They embrace the ultimate foolishness, and they're not even ashamed about it. And that's not what God says he wants his people to be like in the Bible. You know that, and I know that. So I'm looking at an article called Schwab Family Values. And it's got a great picture on it. It's got a monstrous picture of Klaus Schwab looking like either an alien or a demon. And then in giant letters next to the picture of Klaus Schwab, it says, "Obey, consume, reset." Kind of like that movie that John Carpenter directed years ago called They Live, which was all about aliens from another planet taking over the television and the media and the government of planet Earth. And if you wore these particular sunglasses, the invisible alien invaders, all of a sudden you could see them. And you could then see everything that they were communicating to the human race subliminally. It was like a switch was turned on in your brain, and you could see exactly what they were saying, like obey, consume, reset. Okay, I want to read you some highlights. Because Klaus Schwab and the Great Reset, they're asking the human race and you and Christians to trust them. So the only way that you can make an accurate decision of whether or not they're trustworthy is you have to know accurate information about their biography and their past. So let's look into Klaus Schwab's biography and his past. Okay, so he's later on in life, it took a long time, he became head of the World Economic Forum, which is the institution behind the New World Order, which is now called the Global Reset. And I'm going to talk to you about some other things, but this is important. Klaus Schwab, let me just be blunt. Klaus Schwab's family, according to the article I have in front of me, Klaus Schwab's family and his father had Nazi connections. Nazi connections. And that's important for you to know. Because you're dealing, I'm not saying he's a Nazi today. I don't know what he is today. It's a mystery that has to be solved. Okay, so when Schwab was returning from the World Economic Forum's annual meeting in January 2021, he stressed that the building of trust would be an integral to the success of the Great Reset. Now, this is a big theme that Klaus Schwab uses over and over again, that we have to rebuild the trust between the elites and the working class and the middle class. And that's supposedly like one of his top priorities. So my question is going to be to you, when you do your homework, when you do research, when you delve into the biography of Klaus Schwab, is he reliable? Is he credible when he says stuff like, one of his primary goals is to restore the trust between the globalist elite and the working class and the middle class? And I'm going to suggest to you, based on my research, that I find that very difficult to believe. And it appears that he is using those words to sedate and hypnotize people. But when the day is done, the World Economic Forum has no intention of earning your trust, because in the end game, they intend to, if you read their own documents, listen to their own speeches, read their own articles, read the book, The Fourth Industrial Revolution. When you gather the data on Klaus Schwab, you discover that he is really all about seizing total power, total money, total control of the working class and the middle class of planet Earth. And the seductive talk about, you know, you'll own nothing, but you'll never be happier in your life, those are total lies. It's just as if Adolf Hitler was standing there lying to you about, you know, a fabulous future you're going to have. These are lies. Okay, why do I say that? Well, let's look at his past. Now, look, we all know a son can be different than his father and family. But after examining this, I'm not comfortable with telling you Klaus Schwab is trustworthy, or that he's worthy of you trusting him to rebuild the trust between the elite and the working class and the middle class. Do your homework. His father, Eugene Schwab, led the Nazi-supported German branch of Swiss engineering firm into the war as a prominent military contractor. That company, Escher Weiss, would use slave labor to produce machinery critical to the Nazi war effort, as well as the Nazis' effort to produce heavy water. That's how you make nuclear weapons. Heavy water for its nuclear program. Years later, the same company, a young Klaus Schwab, the son, the Klaus Schwab of today, of the Global Reset, he served on the board of directors of his father's company when the decision was made to furnish the racist apartheid regime of South Africa and the necessary equipment to further its quest to become a nuclear power. So this company of the Schwab family was very busy making business deals and providing nuclear weapons to South Africa and other companies. So at the very least, this should be a big cause for concern. You need to keep your eyes open. In addition, the Klaus Schwab company was heavily involved not only in nuclear technology, but also eugenics. Eugenics influenced population control policies. What is eugenics? The science of eugenics is this. It's when scientists manipulate DNA and your genetic code to produce a genetically engineered master race, and then subsequently produce genetically engineered DNA modified slave races. So you're producing on one hand a master race, like Hitler was into, but you're also producing a whole spectrum of dumbed down slave races, subservient races. Now, does that sound like the type of guy that has the agape love of Jesus Christ in his heart? I'm not going to answer it. You answer it. I'm giving you the facts. You make the decision. Okay, I'm looking at more data. So the factory that where Klaus Schwab and Eugene Schwab would eventually begin working at a factory in a town in Upper Swabia in southern Germany, capital of the district of Ravensburg. As I recall, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't Ravensburg one of the towns that had one of the most evil and largest concentration camp that killed countless numbers of Jews? Wasn't there a major concentration camp set up in Ravensburg? Yeah, I believe totally that there was. So the Schwab family was involved in the creation of a Swiss company named Escher Weiss, which set up its operations in Ravensburg. And in addition, they were breeding animals. They were breeding various cheeses deep within the Swiss Alps. Well, what else were they breeding? If you're into eugenics, you're into breeding a master race. So were they harvesting people? The godmen, the Nordic godmen, and then the slave races? And then I noticed something. In 1847, in Switzerland, near Ravensburg, there was the opening of a railway line from Ravensburg to a nearby lake on the borderlands of Switzerland and Germany. Now, I want to bring something to your attention. Like I said, I have a photographic memory, so certain things that are important to me, I can read or observe once, and it will pop back in my brain, decades later. Such is the case with railway lines, railroad tracks, and railroad trains. I read decades ago that near every concentration camp in Germany and surrounding nations, there would always be, 100% of the time, there'd be the concentration camp, and then there would be a railway line with a railroad track and a railroad train. Why? Because the railway line, the railway track, and the railway train, they were absolutely necessary to the transporting of human beings in these specially designed railway cars. And the people who would be the captives of the Nazi concentration camps would be sent by railroad car on railroad tracks underground secretly inside of the concentration camps throughout Germany and neighboring countries. So to this very day, when you're supposed to use your God-given brain, your God-given cognitive abilities, and your God-given awareness, I have noticed when I used to commute from northern Los Angeles County way down to John Wayne Airport, where the radio studio I used to do the Paul McGuire show from was. And I noticed, because I commuted a lot, because it was, when I drove, it was a 180 mile round trip from where I live to the radio station. And on average, it was a 6-hour commute. So I began taking the railway down to the radio station. And so I'd look out the window because I was bored. And I noticed that there were railroad tracks, which is no big deal because I'm in a railroad train commuting. But I noticed by looking carefully and using my God-given perception that the railroad track would continue on eventually to the major railway station in downtown Los Angeles. But before you got there, you would be in the railroad train on the railroad track, and you know how they can flip a switch and they can divert a railroad train onto a separate set of tracks that kind of appears out of nowhere. Well, that's what happened when I was looking out of the window of this railroad train. I saw this mysterious secondary track automatically open up. And as I followed the tracks underneath a dark tunnel, I said to myself, is this hidden second set of railroad tracks, is this going into some kind of secret underground facility? No, I don't have the answer to that. All I can say is there were a lot of other things that I observed that strengthened the credibility and the necessity of asking such a question. Pay attention. Remember the Jews. They were told over and 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 over. The Jews were told a million times that their friends were being sent to concentration camps and not returning because in the concentration camps they were being gassed to death, and in the concentration camps they were being put in ovens and burned alive. But every time the reports came to the Jewish leaders, they were always in a psychological state of denial. They always said the same thing along with the common Jewish people. They said over and over and over again, ad nauseum, it can't happen here. But the problem was, it was happening there. And so we see in Ravensburg, with the Klaus Schwab factories and family, at the very least, we see the stereotypical scenario of railway lines and railroad tracks and these words that have double meanings, which is the fact that there's an admission that they're using free labor for their factories to produce weapons and stuff for Nazi Germany. Well, what do you think the free labor was? What do you think the free labor was? The free labor was Jews that they had abducted to work for free on these Nazi factories that Klaus Schwab's family owned. Now, if you think that's far-fetched, you need to do some more historical research. Again, I operate by divine guidance. The Lord puts impressions, pictures, visuals in my mind that lead me and guide me into understanding things that I normally wouldn't be able to understand. It happens all the time. It's not premonition. It's not, you know, morphic fields, or it may interface with morphic fields. I believe it's a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. So I was doing research on Wernher von Braun a couple of years ago. And, you know, under Operation Paperclip, the U.S. government smuggled in 15,000 Nazi rocket scientists, Nazi genetic scientists, and Nazi mind control scientists into the biggest think tanks and universities and laboratories in America. Now, I noticed that because there were these fires, you remember, blasting Los Angeles, I don't know, a year or two ago. So I Googled Earth Search the area, and I discovered a number of things. I discovered the existence of something that's public knowledge, but a lot of people don't seem to know, and that is the existence of what is called the Santa Susana Field Laboratories. And I could look at them, and the massive structures that were still left over. And as it turns out, as you do the deep dive and research, and I was doing the deep dive and research, and I sensed the Holy Spirit leading me to continue the research, and I sensed the Holy Spirit giving me, well, what you could call super revelation, supernatural revelation about what I was researching. And so it turns out that the Santa Susana Laboratories are located in a remote mountainous region in northern Los Angeles. And if you look at it through Google Earth search or just photographs on the internet, what you see is the remains of a massive, massive infrastructure of rocket launching and rocket testing engine towers. They're all over the place. And the Nazi rocket scientists were there. So what they were doing in this remote laboratory is they were building the American version of the V-2, the Apollo program, and many other of the big, big NASA rocket programs. These rocket engines were being tested and perfected at the Santa Susana Field Lab in a remote mountainous region of LA. And then I discovered that deep underground, there once existed the largest nuclear reactor in the United States. And it had at one time a meltdown, and radiation leaked to suburban communities, and they did, and I guess they're still doing, I don't know what the status is, a mad dash to clean it up. But it gets heavier than that. The Holy Spirit supernaturally gave me a divine impression regarding this laboratory. And the divine impression was, this is how God speaks to me. It was not in an audible voice, but in a series of impressions. The Lord supernaturally revealed to me that the Nazis would not be reinventing the wheel every time they built rockets or rocket testing. The Nazis and the Nazi rocket scientists like Wernher von Braun, who was there, would be using pre-existing templates and engineering diagrams, pre-existing ones, based on the rocket production facilities that they built deep underground in places in Europe and Germany, and near the coast of Germany, there was a famous rocket production facility that was headed up by Wernher von Braun, and it was called Peenemünde. And Peenemünde was disguised by the Nazis because when we flew over our planes to photograph that territory, what you could see topographically, what you could see as you look down from a plane down to the earth, all you could see was a massive concentration camp run by the Nazis. But secretly, deep, deep, deep underground, they had tens of thousands of Nazi concentration camp workers toiling day and night to build and assemble these powerful Nazi rocket engines. Now, it gets heavier than that. So, on the top of the ground, anybody flying over would say, well, that's just a concentration camp, because there were the traditional concentration camp towers and water towers and all kinds of other technology that you would expect to find in a concentration camp. But upon closer examination, those water towers in the concentration camp served a dual purpose. First, they functioned as water towers for the concentration camp. But secondly, they were built precisely and designed precisely so that the Nazis could connect V2 rocket engines and very powerful giant rocket engines to these towers above the surface of the ground and test the engines. So you'd see this blast of fire and heat and smoke at selected times. But it was hiding the fact that there was a real Nazi rocket production facility hidden deep underground. And Wernher von Braun was basically the head of Peenemünde. Now, the Lord put another impression upon me regarding the United States and the rocket programs in the United States. And I'm not saying anything with certainty because I can't prove it. And I'm not going to go do something foolish like go on a solo trip and explore it physically. Some things are better left alone. But the Holy Spirit impressed upon me a question, theoretical question. I don't have the answer to the question, so it's theoretical. But the theory is, because I saw these pictures of these massive trucks carrying these massive rocket engines that were double the width of the trucks, and they were driving these massive rocket engines on these very narrow dirt roads into the rocket production facility. And I asked myself the question, did the Nazi rocket scientists who were there, did they incorporate the already pre-existing design that they had already developed on Peenemünde, which was a massive underground rocket production facility? Did they repeat that design at the Santa Susana rocket labs? I have no idea. Because a lot of things have happened. You had a nuclear meltdown, so nobody's going to go there and check it out who's in their right mind. And then one little other enigma, and that is, when you follow the path, and this will make sense when you read my book, Power from On High. When you follow Laurel Canyon up in the Hollywood Hills, to Lookout Mountain Avenue, where there were Nazi rocket scientists. When you follow that road on Lookout Mountain and you take it to Benedict Canyon, you end up at the house. So you go Laurel Canyon, Lookout Mountain, Benedict Canyon, and you look and you end up at the house where a tragic, famous event occurred, which we'll be back in a moment. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Welcome to the Paul McGuire Report all around the world, all across the USA. Okay, so Peenemünde, by the way, there's a number of biographical historical speculations as to the origins of Peenemünde that Wernher von Braun, who was a Nazi rocket scientist, a Nazi genetic scientist, and was involved in Nazi occult secret societies. Remember, the entire Nazi regime was powered by supernatural occult powers such as the Vril Force, V-R-I-L. And some people theorize that perhaps Peenemünde the underground Nazi rocket production facility, and islands like Thule may have been part of, it's speculation, the legendary super civilization of Atlantis. But let's leave that there because that's an entirely different subject. Okay, so we go back topographically and do this with me, okay? I break this wide open in my book, Power from On High. So you take Laurel Canyon. You get off at Lookout Mountain Avenue, where I live, when I was the executive producer of a number of science fiction feature films. In fact, I was the executive producer of a sci-fi film called Wired to Kill. And in that sci-fi film, there was a futuristic pandemic that wiped out countless millions of people on planet Earth. And I'm not laughing because it's fictional, but the pandemic was called Tapex. Now, that's just an oddity, don't you think? I wasn't the writer of the movie, but it's interesting that its theme would contain a full-blown biological pandemic in the future. The film is not a great film because the writing is weak. But I didn't write it. My job wasn't to write it. My job was to be the executive producer. So I lived up in the Hollywood Hills, specifically on Lookout Mountain Avenue in the 80s. And I didn't know it at the time because my research was not yet, my research had not yet reached an apex of heavy, heavy duty understanding. I went hiking one day, and many of the houses block the views from the cliffs, and I happened to notice there was like a 4 or 5 foot distance between one house and another house looking down on a vast canyon. And I snuck in there on Lookout Mountain Avenue and looked down at the vast canyon, and I saw a structure which I couldn't make any sense of. And so I assumed the structure was some kind of cult compound for some kind of guru because it didn't make any sense. I mean, this structure had weird stuff like glass-topped towers that you would see in an airport and other stuff. Well, it turns out that what I stumbled upon, but I didn't really stumble upon, it was by divine providence, was built in 1947 and was known as the Lookout Mountain Avenue Laboratory. And not only did it contain a massive series of motion picture studios and actors and editing machines and all kinds of stuff, it was rumored to be, and let me emphasize the word rumor, it's an allegation. And I'm not even making an allegation because I can't, and I don't know anybody to date who has actual 100% documented proof to substantiate that the Lookout Mountain Avenue Laboratory was the MKUltra mind control laboratory that some people said it was. There's a Dave McGowan wrote a book on it. He's the one who popularized this theory. And like things of that nature, I mean, good luck. In any case, it's there and was in relatively close proximity to where I lived. Another very bizarre thing was that many of the people that had a powerful influence on my life as a kid, I was a big reader of sci-fi, so like Robert Heinlein. who wrote Stranger in a Strange Land. L. Ron Hubbard, yeah, the creator of Scientology, but also a big-time sci-fi writer. Robert Campbell, etc. They had a secret ONI, Office of Naval Intelligence, think tank, where they dreamed up out-of-the-box weapons and technology for the Navy. And their homes, Heinlein's home, Hubbard's home, the science fiction writers and other people, it was like 2 to 3 blocks from my house. But when I was living there, they weren't there because they had, by 1949 or 1950, they had disappeared. Also, Aldous Huxley was a very short walking distance to my house and many other people. Timothy Leary was there when I was there. And we would run into him and other people would have run into him. And of course, he's the professor, the Harvard professor who promoted LSD. So it was a strange place. The Doors were there, the Mamas and the Papas, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Peter Fonda. I mean, I could go on for a long time naming all the people that were in the Hollywood Hills. Okay, you take Laurel Canyon, where I lived. You take it all the way down to Benedict Canyon. And that's the house that I believe one of the Beach Boys owned, where the Manson family murders took place. Weird, huh? Weird. And then if you take that Benedict Canyon Road, take it through winding Hollywood Hills, and you eventually cross Sunset Boulevard, and you enter in to the lower valleys, the valley area, but then you climb up into the mountainous regions and hills, and the back roads, you end up smack dab in the middle of the Santa Susana field laboratories where they were building NASA space rockets like the Apollo series and everything else. And the Nazi rocket scientists were there in the middle of nowhere. I'm talking about the total middle of nowhere. So where am I going with all this? Where I'm going with all this is to remind you that you and I, this is what I want to close with. What was happening up at Lookout Mountain Avenue and Laurel Canyon, etc. One of the things that Robert Heinlein, L. Ron Hubbard, Robert Campbell, who wrote The Thing, and they turned the movie into The Thing, one of the things these guys were into with their secret research group was they had a Nazi scientist doctor with them, Dr. Willy Ley. Dr. Willy Ley was one of the world's greatest authorities on the Vril Force, V-R-I-L. And according to the Nordic myths, etc., deep under Antarctica, there exists a midnight sun that emanates powerful light, but also a powerful life force, a powerful consciousness and intelligence. And so the Vril Force is something that is very powerful and very supernatural and very controversial. So one of the things that Heinlein and Hubbard and the others were doing with Dr. Willy Ley was they were trying to figure out, and this started with a dinner that they had with Dr. Willy Ley in Manhattan, like the year before. They were trying to determine how viable the Vril Force actually was as a military weapon, like a supernaturally powered military weapon. So these big shots in the world of sci-fi and scientists, etc., were trying to uncover the secret of the Nazi Vril Force, because Hitler and the Third Reich, I mean, they rolled with the Vril Force. Now, I want to throw something out to you, which is a theoretical speculation on my part. The area of Laurel Canyon and Lookout Mountain Lookout Mountain Laboratory, and the sci-fi writers investigating the Brill Force, L. Ron Hubbard, Robert Heinlein, and it goes on and on and on. This becomes a vortex of supernatural energy, and their scientific research is to uncover the secrets of the Brill Force. So my question is, and I don't have an answer for it, there seemed to be an unusual propensity for supernatural activities, the release of dark supernatural powers, murders. There was a ton of murders up there. Allegations of Nazi MKUltra mind control experiments, psychic warfare experiments, occult experiments, and all kinds of stuff. Could it have been that the energy field being generated in the invisible realm that was drawing all of this in? This is purely theoretical. Could it have been the Vril Force? And is there a connection between the Vril Force? Well, there is a connection. There's a proven connection between the Vril Force and the secret Nazi UFO program and the secret reverse gravity machines and all kinds of other futuristic scientific technologies developed by the Nazis. Because the Nazi scientists met with the Vril Ya maidens in 1926 in a cafe in Vienna. And these Vril Ya maidens gave the Nazi scientists detailed blueprints of all kinds of futuristic and scientific weapons that were like beyond this time zone. So, I want you to think about all of this for a moment, and then I want to go back to the Bible. Right now, we're in the greatest spiritual war. We're in the last days, and we're in the greatest spiritual war since the world was created, between demonic forces of Satan, fallen angels, the territorial spirits, and God and God's angels, and all those who are born again have received God. There's a massive warfare with occult technology going on in the visible realm. If it is possible that the Vril Force harnessed an interdimensional download of very advanced technology, very advanced scientific discoveries in the fields of genetics, rocketry, mind control, etc. If the Vril Force was capable of pulling that in from another dimension, then why would it not be possible? In fact, it should be possible for God's people to come to God biblically. Let's go boldly to the throne of grace. And you do that by appropriating the blood of Jesus, by putting your faith in the Word of God, by receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior, and then cleansed by the blood of Jesus, you come boldly to the throne of grace to find an ever-present help in time of need. By doing that, by uniting in prayer and calling on God based on His Word, you, as a believer in Christ, have the authority to call down out of heaven the supernatural power of God, the dunamis, the dynamite explosive power of God, the Holy Spirit. And not only that, you have the privilege of being clothed with supernatural power, the dunamis, from on high. Now, If you take off your little religious box off your head, which is limiting you with strongholds of unbelief and religious tradition, and you wake up, smell the coffee, and realize that you are in the fiercest end times battle at the end of the age, in which hundreds of millions of souls are at stake, and it is the desire and the will of the biblical God for His people to bring in hundreds of millions of people into heaven and eternity through a last day's soul harvest. And I believe that's true. So, what is the condition? What is it that will flip the switch of total power in the invisible realm? What is it that will flip the switch of total power in the invisible realm and enable us as the children of the Most High God to reverse the direction of the warfare, to turn the direction of the spiritual warfare 180 degrees? What is it that we need to do as the children of the Most High God in terms of accessing the dunamis dynamite power of God, in terms of releasing the dunamis dynamite power of God into our lives so that we are clothed with power from on high, that the dunamis dynamite power of God should be exploding out of our inner man and woman and detonating in the invisible realm or spiritual world, which should produce a sanctified and holy shockwave of the Holy Spirit that decapitates, destroys, and wipes out countless millions of demons, territorial spirits, fallen angels, etc., etc. So what do we need to do? Because if we stay in this present mode of fear, retreatism, unbelief, all hell's going to break loose. I'm telling you, all hell's going to break loose. So the option that God has given us is to exercise our faith, to understand, to plumb the depths of God's word, and then apply the supernaturally powerful truths of God's word to apply it into the last day's spiritual battle of the end times. And how we do this, this is not like, you know, gee, I hope it'll work. This will work just as surely as when they crucified Jesus Christ and killed him on a cross, but he miraculously resurrected from the dead. That same resurrection power will be released into all these situations, and it will defeat the devil and his demons, and it will position God's people as victorious and more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And it's doable now. The price tag is you've got to surrender your lukewarm faith. You've got to surrender your cozying up and cowardice. You know, I never hear people preach on cowardice except for me. I'm not bragging. But in that list of all these sins that will keep you out of heaven, the very first sin that is listed is one that Christians never preach on. Very first thing on the list is not sexual immorality. The very first sin on the list is the sin of cowardice. So we need to repent of the sin of cowardice and take the land like Joshua and Caleb did. The giants in our land, in America and the world today, the global reset people, are just as vulnerable as the giants in Canaan. And so we take them down with superior spiritual power. And that superior spiritual power is the dunamis dynamite power of God. All we have to do is position God's eternal spiritual weaponry. We need to position the spiritual weaponry and detonate it in close proximity to the demonic armies. And then we win the battle. And then we pave the way for Christ to return at his second coming. And then we open the doors for the last day's soul harvest. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. I need your help to spread
this teaching, this message, far and wide to as many people as possible. A turnaround can come when we achieve reaching a critical mass of believers in the Word of God. We can turn the tide of the spiritual battle. But I need your help. So I'm asking you for your contributions, your donations, your intercessory prayers, your willingness to distribute our links and our programs far and wide. And if we do this together in unity, true biblical unity, if we do this together, we can cause a massive defeat in the invisible realm of Satan, the principalities and powers, the fallen angels, and anyone who opposes the kingdom of God. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us.